Friends, in Jesus, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Again, we read from the Gospel of St. Luke, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And then after the temptations, we read, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is God's word. Please be seated. Jesus takes temptation personally. Sin hurts him because sin hurts his creation, and because sin hurts us, whom he loves, and who were fashioned after his own image. That's why an attack on us is an attack on Jesus. And that's why Jesus takes temptation personally. Now, we tend to think of temptation as something impersonal, just a feeling or an urge or an inclination that comes from somewhere inside of me, as we say, from within the sinful nature. Nothing personal, really. It's just this problem that I have with myself. And yes, sin is that, but it's more than that. Remember, Jesus was born without a sinful nature, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and yet even he was tempted, not from within himself, but from outside himself. Tempted by another, tempted by a person luring him, seducing him, trying to pull him away from his Father and destroy him. Satan is a person in the classic sense of that word, a being which subsists in itself with mind and will. Satan is an angel, created by God, but fallen into sin and cast out of heaven, and he is bitterly angry about that. And now his whole mind and his whole will is to get whatever revenge he can against God. But since God cannot be directly attacked, Satan seeks his revenge by doing the next best thing and attacking all that God loves, especially us, and destroying us one person at a time. But when God became flesh, Satan saw an opportune moment to destroy all of humanity in one fell swoop by destroying humanity's Savior. If he can tempt Jesus to sin, all of humanity is his to destroy. Now, the people of this world, and quite frankly, a lot of Christians and a lot of churches don't even believe that the devil is a person. They, of course, know better, and they will smirk and they will scoff at the very notion of a personal devil. They think that people who believe in a personal devil are like children who are afraid of the monsters in the closet. And they'll pat us on the head and they'll say, oh, you're so superstitious and unsophisticated and juvenile and stuck in the past and medieval and unenlightened. You silly little Christians and your fairy tales, why don't you just run along now and play your little games while we go and do some grown-up stuff? Well, you know, given the state of our world today and what passes for supposed knowledge and sophistication, I am not particularly worried what the world thinks about what I believe. The world's scoffing is not going to cause me to doubt God's word. But, that said, their scoffing is dangerous, because to deny that the devil is a real threat is to give him all the more room to do his work. It's like some people are saying about Russia right now. They say that for decades, we didn't take Russia seriously as a threat. They remember Mitt Romney, who was scoffed at for saying that Russia is our number one geopolitical foe? And the argument is that in scoffing at this threat, we let down our guard, and thus we made it easier for Russia to work its destructive schemes in this world. Well, for that very reason, not taking the devil as a serious threat is to give him all the more room to do his work, his destructive work in your life. But when you don't even believe the enemy is real, you don't keep up your guard against him. And so then we are defenseless when he attacks. Temptation is personal. The person of the devil came against the person of Jesus, tempted him personally with temptations that were designed just for him personally. But how different Jesus is from Satan. The devil has only revenge in his mind, but Jesus has it in his mind only to bless. Do you remember in the Old Testament, young David, before he was the king, on behalf of all of Israel, he put his own life on the line and he single-handedly went into the battle against Israel's greatest enemy, Goliath the Philistine. And it was a person-to-person contest. But the outcome of this contest would decide the fate of all of Israel. And what did David choose as his weapon? A little stone and a slingshot to go up against this giant. You talk about bringing a knife to a gunfight. And yet, don't underestimate the power of a stone that has been blessed by God. You know what happened. Jesus is our David in this gospel reading. He's our champion. He puts his own life on the line, single-handedly goes to battle against our number one enemy. It is a person-to-person contest, but the outcome of this contest will decide the fate, not just of one nation, but of all of humanity. And his choice of a weapon is as seemingly inadequate as David's little stone. Just words. But words blessed by God, words of God. Do not underestimate the power of words, of God's words. You see, the Word of God is not just an army field manual to teach you how to fight the devil, although many churches and many Christians treat the Scriptures that way, as if the battle is ours to win. Here's your instructions. No. The Word of God is Spirit-filled. It is the sword of the Spirit, a mighty weapon in the hands of those who wield it. The Word of God is the power to save, to bring Satan to heel, which is what Jesus did when he said, "It is written, it is written." One little word can fell him. And then later on, after that battle was over and lost by Satan, later on Satan found another opportune time and the battle flared up again and the forces of hell and sin were crushing Jesus upon the cross. And once again, what was Jesus' weapon of choice in this battle? More words. But the words of God. Words that forgave those who crucified him. Words that saved a thief for the kingdom of God. Words of the 22nd Psalm that strengthened Christ to stay the course, stay on the cross, pay the full price for sin when he could have come down. Oh, it sure didn't look like a victory. Jesus was killed despite his words. And it looked like the cross and the hatred and the evil had won. But soon enough, Christ will descend alive to storm the gates of hell, and the stone will be rolled back, and the true victor of this battle will be revealed. And that victory at the cross and at the empty tomb, He keeps on giving us now, right here in His church. Through what? Through words. Personal words. Words of washing. Given to you by name in your baptism. Words of absolution for you that tear to shreds all of those accusations that the devil would bring against you. Words of good news for you, good tidings that impart salvation to all who simply believe. Words of invitation for you to eat the body and to drink the blood of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Words. Personal words. And don't think, by the way, the devil doesn't notice that you're here. Hearing these words. Oh, he knows. Jesus in you makes you a prime target. Jesus in you is like a red cape to a bull. To destroy you is to hurt Jesus. So expect to be attacked, to be tempted, to be gored and bloodied in this battle. But when you are, you have the healing medicine of words. The words of God. The balm of forgiveness. The strength of your life. The word of hope and of salvation. And so today we sang in our opening hymn these words. Satan has designed your fall. This is personal. He has designs for you. He knows how to exploit the weaknesses and the vulnerabilities that are uniquely yours. And that's why we need to take temptations seriously. This is personal. Take it personally as Jesus did. And when tempted, there is more at work than an urge or a feeling coming from inside yourself. There is a fallen and bitterly angry angel at work, trying to keep you so focused on the needs of your body that you will neglect your soul, luring you with all the glitz and the glitter of this world so that you'll take your eyes off of heaven, seducing you into thinking that God doesn't care about you or even know you, and in these ways, destroying you and getting some level of revenge against God. But during communion today, we are also going to sing these words. With might of ours cannot be done. Soon were our loss effected. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God Himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is. This is personal. God doesn't just love the world. God loves you. And had you been the only one, He would have died for you to save you for His kingdom. So the next time you're tempted, and by the way, that's not going to be long from now. The next time you're tempted, take it personally, because it is personal. Satan tailors his attacks for you. He knows you and how to make that which will destroy you look tantalizing and alluring. And on your own, you stand no chance against this enemy. With might of ours cannot be done. Soon were our loss effected. So take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. One little word can fell him. But more than anything, remember the one who came personally for you, to fight for you, to save you, to give you victory over this enemy, and to provide life for you personally. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.